This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and in cinemas, with a bit of pop culture bits thrown in. Ah, yes, the annual festive double issue episode has arrived. The episode that almost wasn't. Not all heroes wear capes. Having heroically struggled against the dreaded man flu through soup and nap binges, I've come out the other side a better man. A slightly more hoarse man, but a better one nonetheless. And yes, I seem to have moved my post-credit meandering, nonsensical thoughts to the front of the pod. Basically, you're telling me I should shut up, because this week we have a lot to get through. As I said, it's a double episode looking at the next 2 weeks of content on streaming, on TV, and in cinemas. So, shall we begin?
When I found you in the wreckage of that ship, I considered leaving you. I was afraid you could bring trouble to us.
What do you think they want?
Zack Snyder brings us his second straight-to-Netflix film following 2021's Army of the Dead, and it's Rebel Moon Part 1, A Child of Fire. Ah yes, such a catchy name. This is a much bigger budget, two-part sci-fi epic that gives off all the vibes of Zack's attempts to create his own Star Wars universe. A much more violent Star Wars, but still Star Wars-y in its look and feel. When a colony on the edge of the galaxy finds itself threatened by the armies of the tyrannical Regent Belisarius, they dispatch a young woman with a mysterious past to seek out warriors from neighbouring planets to help them take a stand. So far, so Magnificent Seven. Sophia Boutella is our reluctant hero Cora, with sketchy past, a very mysterious sketchy past. And she is joined by Charlie Hunnam, Anthony Hopkins, Ray Fisher, Michael Hisman, Damon Huntsu, Corey Stoll, Kerry Ewells, and Jenna Malone in this sweeping, epic, space cowboy epic. Reviews from critics, shall we say, have not been kind to the movie so far. extremely dodgy. But you know what? It's a huge, budgeted, R-rated sci-fi space opera that is landing on our TVs on Friday. And with filming already wrapped on the second part, Rebel Moon Part 2, subtitled The Scar Giver, which will debut in April 2024, why wouldn't you want to bail in? Feck it, make your own mind up. Seemingly 10 years ago, Zack saw this story as part of the Star Wars universe, but the old Star Wars head said, lads, this is a bit violent for our franchise. So Netflix stepped in and showed him the money. Possibly trash of the highest order, possibly a sneaky, enjoyable sci-fi romp. Either way, it'll be hard to avoid the hot takes on the interweb for Rebel Moon Part 1, A Child of Fire on Netflix. So, do you know what? You might as well join the discourse and let the madness happen. It's available now.
I'm used to the world feeling weird to me. Like a puzzle with half the wrong pieces. But lately, it all feels different somehow.
Percy, you are special. When you're ready to hear what the gods have in store for you, they'll tell you.
Percy, the stories I have told you about Greek gods and monsters, they are real.
Percy Jackson and the Olympians on Disney Plus is a TV adaptation of Rick Riordan's best-selling teen fantasy novel series about present-day Greek gods, and it's an absolute cracker. 12-year-old modern-day demigod Percy is coming to terms with his newfound divine powers when the sky god Zeus accuses him of stealing his master lightning bolt. Oh, bad boy, bad. So with his friends, Percy must restore order to Olympus. Dealing with Greek mythology in the setting of modern America, and with some inspired age-appropriate casting and visual effects throughout, this is a must see show for kids aged 8 plus. And you know what? It will also appeal to adult fantasy nerds. From the Minotaur to Medusa, this series has all the action, adventure, darkness and maturity that, let's just say, some of the more, the bigger adult shows, they could learn a lot. It's so tight, it's so well scripted, it's so well acted. I love it. I absolutely love it. The movies, I thought the movies were fine, but they were never fully loved by the people because, you know, having a 20 plus year old play a 12 year old probably, you know, is always going to be an issue. But this, folks, this, you know, it got me back to wanting to read the books again. It's that good. I've seen the first four and I cannot recommend it enough. As I said, the first two episodes are up and then it drops weekly. That is Percy Jackson and the Olympians on Disney Plus. Love it, love it. And I'm not going to lie, since I've been recording this, I may just have ordered a certain box set from a station of the books. All five books for $19.99. I know maybe a bit late today, but get in there. Get in there while stocks last. And so ended the promotion. Free promotion, not sponsored.
Let me tell you one of my favorite Yuletide stories.
Ales all around. Chin chin.
All pulse is cracking. All the light power's cracking. Fabrics are glowing. You have a
start. Oh, gotta admit, that's some solid holiday wordplay.
Marvel fans can rejoice because one of the rare successes of recent years, What If, returns for a second season on Friday with 9 new multiverse episodes, which will be released daily throughout the holiday season. Woohoo! The animated series finds The Watcher, voiced by Jeffrey Wright, contending with new challenges now that the multiverse is well and truly free. I couldn't think of another word, but free sounds better. Showing viewers familiar superheroes, but in a completely different light. With episode titles like What If Peter Quill Attacked Earth's Mightiest Heroes? Oh, What If the Avengers Assembled in 1602? Oh no! What If Happy Hogan Saved Christmas? What's not to love? This is proper multiverse fun done correctly. So that's What If Season 2, which is now on Disney Plus.
She's so beautiful. Oh, tell me about her.
Oh, she's wonderful. She's a lovely girl.
What age are we living in? One can be as free as one likes without guilt or confession. Please, I know exactly who you are.
He can be the first great American conductor.
There's a price for being in my brother's orbit, you know that.
Maestro finally lands on Netflix a few weeks after its cinema release. Bradley Cooper in this one directs the complicated, lifelong romantic relationship between famed composer and conductor Leonard Bernstein, played by Cooper himself, and actress Felicia Montalegre, played by Carey Mulligan. It also observes Bernstein's rise to fame. A bit of a festival darling recently and starting to gain some decent momentum ahead of awards season. It also stars Matt Bomer, Sarah Silverman, Maya Hawke and Josh Hamilton, while this screenplay comes from Cooper along with Oscar winner Josh Singer, who did Spotlight. Yeah, some pretty decent buzz, as I said, and, you know, again, big fancy Oscar-worthy movies on Netflix for you to watch on a Friday night or a Saturday or any time over the holiday season. What's not to love? The grown-ups are in the building. That is Maestro, which is Bradley Cooper's directorial debut, and it's now on Netflix. By the way, keep an eye on that Carey Mulligan. I think she's going places. A new addition to that wonderful, traditional, festive movie, the Christmas-themed action movie, Silent Night, lands on Sky Movies and Now TV with action superstar John Woo directing. Movies like Violent Night, Reindeer Games, Die Hard are always a fun alternative to your normal kind of Christmas movie, just like those Christmas horror movies too. So in Silent Night, we have Joel Kinnaman, who plays a man who on Christmas Eve witnesses the death of his young son when the boy gets caught in crossfire between warring gangs. Recovering from a wound that cost him his voice, he soon embarks on a bloody and grueling quest to punish those responsible. Yes, as you could tell from that trailer, there's not a lot of talking, minimal dialogue, but let me get this straight. This is an uber-violent Christmas action movie starring Joel Kinnaman and directed by action legend John Woo. Hell to the yes. Shoot it into my veins. Don't even care if it's muck. I'm in. That is Silent Night, now on Sky Movies and Now TV. Two comedians landing new one-off comedy specials on Netflix this week are Trevor Noah, Where Was I?, which is now streaming. The always likeable Noah deals with topics such as learning German, speaking ill of the dead, judging people in horror movies, and ordering Indian food in Scotland. While on the opposite end of the comedy spectrum and, shall we say, slightly more controversial, Ricky Gervais brings his Armageddon comedy special to Netflix on Christmas Day, dishing out controversial takes, as one would expect from Mr. Gervais. His takes on political correctness and oversensitivity, this taboo-busting comedy special about the end of humanity is either your cup of tea or will have you running for the hills. Anyway, that's two Netflix comedy specials, Trevor Noah, Where Was I?, which is out now, and Ricky Gervais' Armageddon, which is out on Christmas Day. However, if comedy isn't your vibe and you're kind of more in the mood for a bit of music in your life, well, don't you forget about this.
The post-war party, if you like, of full employment, you can see that party was coming to an end.
It was scary, but at the same time, it was kind of exciting, you know?
I can't think of a better or more sort of productive place to start a band, really.
You're the best band in the entire history of the universe, Simple Minds! Ah!
These guys don't give a fuck. That is defiant music.
Simple Minds, Everything is Possible on Paramount Plus is a documentary looking at the story of how a group of working class kids growing up in post-industrial Glasgow dared to dream of making it big in the world of music. Those kids obviously became Simple Minds, one of the most iconic and influential Scottish bands at the time. Looking back over the years through early footage at their rise, their fall and then their re-emergence in recent years, because if you played music in the 80s, you're cool again. The kids love you, and the old people. While not the most groundbreaking documentary you'll ever see in your life, if you're a fan of music and music docs in general, well, this piece of nostalgia will be right up your street. So that is Simple Minds, Everything is Possible, which is now on Paramount Plus. And if that was for the old folks, the old folks who dared to dream and remember a time when they went out a lot more. But for the younger kids out there, BTS Monuments Beyond the Star is now on Disney Plus, and the legion of fans out there known as The Army, or just Army, this week couldn't have come quick enough. They're all pumped and ready to go, because this one journeys through the band's 10-year career, highlighting their highs and lows for the first time. It's an 8-episode series and will be an absolute smash hit for Disney. So yes, that's BTS Monuments Beyond the Star, which has its first 2 episodes up now on Disney Plus, with the remaining ones dropping in pairs every Wednesday.
The plane's about to leave. Where the hell are you?
Are you traveling alone?
My sister is supposed to be here.
The plane vanishes into vapor. There isn't a single sighting. My sister's alive. I can feel it.
The Castaways on Paramount Plus is a new 5-part drama based on the best-selling novel by Lucy Clark. Sheridan Smith and Celine Buchans star as sisters Laurie and Erin, who are going on the trip of a lifetime to Fiji, but after a huge fight, Erin never boards their final flight and the plane never arrives at its destination. Months later, no wreckage has been found, no survivors discovered, but Erin makes it her mission to find her sibling as she attempts to discover what happened to that flight and the dark mystery involved. Oh, Lord. What's not to love about another British crime thriller? Bit of gorging over the holiday season. Love it. Love it. All 5 episodes are now up. That's The Castaways, which is now on Paramount Plus. And following on from its very recent cinema release, I mean, so recent, it's ridiculous, Saltburn lands on Prime Video this week and should make plenty of folks uncomfortable at the dinner table. Very uncomfortable. Personally, I liked it, but I didn't love it. It felt a bit too cool for school for me. But with Jacob Elordi, Barry Keoghan, Rosamund Pike and Richard E. Grant all going full on tilt with their acting, it's definitely a curiosity worth having a look at to see what all the fuss is about. Emerald Fennell, who gave us the fantastic Promising Young Woman recently, directs, and as for those 2 scenes, oh boy. Oh boy, you'll know them when you see them. Get the kids out of the room and playing with the Lego. Woo! Cringe factor ahoy. So that's Saltburn, All Four Coat, and little else now on Prime Video. And that is your part one. That is your current availability. That's what's out there for you right now, folks. But looking ahead into my little Christmas crystal ball or snow globe, let's have a look at some of the little gems coming our way in the week ahead.
The world can be hard to put into words. Sometimes it feels like we must face the darkness alone. But sometimes adventure calls to us.
Peter and the Wolf is on RT1 on Christmas Day at 12:55, and it turns the classic folktale and symphony into a gothic emo reinvention about grief and environmental protection. Based on Bono's drawings and featuring Gavin Friday's pretty awesome and engrossing narration, this one follows a grieving 12-year-old Peter who is now in the care of his grandfather after enduring the loss of a parent. Upon hearing stories of a wolf on the loose, Peter decides to explore the vast meadow and forest nearby to try and find the wolf himself, with the help of his quirky crew of animal friends. This is the absolute opposite of The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse, which was kind of last year's Christmas Day animated thing. If that was twee and mawkish, this is rock and roll and maybe slightly too edgy for small kids, really small kids. It's a bit dark, I'm not going to lie. Everyone else, both tween, teen and adult, will have an absolute blast with this quirky tale, wonderfully animated throughout. And as I said, Gavin Friday. Oh my God, what a voice. How I did chuckle. And if you're panic buying out there, the absolutely gorgeous illustrated gift book in support of the Irish Hospice Foundation is also available in bookstores. So perfect pre-dinner viewing with that one. And, you know, you've had your dinner then. You've watched the slightly creepy animated short that's very entertaining. And now you're stuffed your face and you're a bit sleepy on the couch. So what do? Well, you go and watch the Masked Singer Christmas special, which is on Virgin Media 1 and ITV at 7:30. This one-off edition of this absolutely bananas and pajamas TV singing contest sees 4 mystery celebrities compete as Sprout, Reindeer, Decorations and Partridge from the Pear Tree. Not Alan, the Pear Tree. My nieces are absolutely obsessed with this show, as is my mother and the rest of the family. So, do you know what? We'll all be there, turkeyed out, and having a bit of a chuckle and guessing away. So that is The Masked Singer Christmas Special on Christmas Day on Virgin Media 1 and ITV at 7:30. Moving into St. Stephen's Day, a bit of a classic. Just, you know, let's just call it as it is. Paddington 2, you know, we're all wonked out there. We're all living the Wonka dream in cinemas. But nothing can match Paul King's previous epic movie. Ah, yes, one of those rare occasions where a sequel was better than its adored original. For me, Paddington 2 is The Empire Strikes Back. It's The Godfather 2. It's pure joy and a movie for all ages. So that is on St. Stephen's Day on RT1 at 6:30. And can I also remind you that on Christmas Eve, nearly forgot, possibly one of the greatest family blockbusters of the 1980s, which still stands the test of time after all these years. You've got Treasure Maps, Secret Caves, Treacherous Traps, Pirate Treasures, and the most wonderful and hilarious group of friends you are ever likely to meet. Yes, The Goonies is on Christmas Eve on RT1 at 1:40. Beautiful. And, you know, if you're a parent with kids and they've never seen it, oh my God, you're going to be the coolest ever. Coolest ever! Moving on to December 28th, on Netflix, we have Pokemon Concierge. This is coming from Japan and is a stop-motion animated series that follows the goings-on at a hotel within the Pokemon franchise. It follows Haru, a concierge at the Pokemon Resort, and her interactions with Pokemon and their owners who visit as guests. Featuring all those classic Pokemons you know and love, stick this under quirky and cute on your viewing list. That is Pokemon Concierge, which drops on Netflix on December 28th. And then on December 29th on Netflix, Berlin is released, which is a prequel to the extremely popular Money Heist series, and follow Pedro Alonso's Berlin and his crew as they plan a robbery of 44 million euros worth of jewels in Paris with their usual smoke and mirrors tricks. Hell, it's a heist series and a prequel to Money Heist. Bring it on. That's Berlin, which is on Netflix from December 29th.
This is where the attack happened, and this is where Joe Burke was murdered.
I don't want to leave you.
I'll be fine.
I've got something for you.
Nanny cam.
Why have you got me a secret camera?
You can keep an eye on Lily when you're not here.
How can a dead man appear on a secret camera?
What, my dead son whom we buried? Stop this.
Moving into the new year. Oh yes, people, it's 2024. Holy crap. What is happening? New Year's Day on Netflix can mean only one thing, folks. It's a new year. It's a new Harlan. Because the new Harlan Coben adaptation has dropped, and this time it's called Fool Me Once. This is an 8-episode thriller starring Richard Armitage. Is it just me or is he in all of these? Maybe I'm just imagining that. Anyway, Michelle Keegan, Joanna Lumley and Adil Akhtar. In this one, a family has been shaken by two murders. And that's all I'm going to tell you, because that's all you need to know. Because it's just one of those twisty, turny, ridiculous nonsense thrillers that is so wonderful to watch. And binge. And preposterous. And perfect for New Year hangovers. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. That is Harlan Coben's Fool Me Once on Netflix from January 1st. I hope you like fish, because there are so many red herrings in this one, you won't be able to get the smell of your nose. I'll get my coat. I think we should move on. Yeah, let's move on.
I don't remember anything.
It was mailed to the police station while you were still in hospital. Maybe it's time you find out who you really are.
Detective Sergeant Rory Slater, I hear somebody's gone missing.
It's my boyfriend.
You'll want to be very careful. These people, they're not messing around.
Or that's the one out of trouble.
Oh, can you not with the gun? Can you not with the gun, please?
What is it that makes me the enemy? I need to know.
The Tourist Season 1 featuring Jamie Dornan was set in the Australian outback, where a devastating road accident rendered a man memoryless and set him on a path of discovery. With limited clues and a band of mysterious people hunting him, it was a smash hit for BBC. Well, The Tourist Season 2 lands on January 1st, again on BBC One, and just when we thought Jamie, or should I say Elliot, had got his shit together and sorted himself out, nope, here we go again. Having landed in, where else but Ireland? Along with Constable Helen Chambers, played again by Danielle MacDonald, he has to piece more of his life together as a ragtag bunch of sketchy Irish gangsters and cops start hunting him down all over again. I loved season one. Again, fits perfectly into the Hangover January 1st special group of nonsense. And yeah, sign me up. That is The Tourist Season 2, which is on BBC One from January 1st. Next up on January 2nd on Channel 4, we have Taskmaster's New Year Treat. All hail Taskmaster Greg Davis and his fiendishly funny little elf, Alex Horn, as they ring in the new year by tormenting five celebrities and comedians with a series of weird and wonderful challenges. In this one-off episode, which is always a bit of a hit. You know me, I love my Taskmaster, and I'm always here for a New Year's treat. So that's on January 2nd on Channel 4, and just ahead of the new season, which is possibly coming in early 2024. And we also have the Champion of Champions episode in early 2024, so a lot to look forward to. Good times for the Taskmaster crew, January 2nd, Channel 4. And finally, on your TV, on January 3rd, on BBC One, yes, it is time, folks, Traitors Season 2 lands. The usual shifty, sketchy behaviour continues as 22 contestants compete while trying to identify the traitors amongst them. Claudia Winkleman returns as the dark and brooding overlord, a massive smash hit for the BBC with season one. Folks will be bailing in again for season two, which starts on January 3rd, and let the deception and deceit begin. Very exciting. And that is your streaming and TV for both now and the coming week ahead. And next up, it'd be only right to have a look at cinema, and there was only one big movie opening up on Friday, and yeah, let's just say I have thoughts.
4 years ago, I was basically unemployed. A wanderer with no home. But now, I'm a husband and a father. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I know how you did it, Pops.
My job was a little less stressful than yours.
Oh yeah, I finally got a job. I'm the king of Atlantis.
Aquaman, a movie that made over $1.15 billion at the worldwide box office and is the biggest DC movie ever at the box office. Mad, mad stuff. Returns with its sequel, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. And oh boy, oh boy, how times they have a changed. Woo, woo. Oh, anyway, okay, keep calm. Early test screening buzz was somewhat shocking. There was loads of reshoots done, and then seemingly even poorer test screening scores. You've got Jason Momoa out there already predicting things ain't looking good for an Aquaman 3, and this is on the press tour for this movie, Aquaman 2. And then there's a worldwide embargo today for 3 p.m. on a day when it's actually already been released in cinemas earlier on. So here we have a movie that its studio was kind of disowning. We have a lead actor who is pretty glum about his chances, and a new head of DC, James Gunn, that's telling us that this movie has nothing to do with future DC projects. Are you hearing a big sketch here? Oh yeah. Oh, by the way, press screenings were pretty non-existent or last minute, but fear not, because I'm the soldier. Having got up bright and early this morning and wandered down to the Odeon Point Cinema, I have taken the bullet for all of you. All of you, and have witnessed the barnacle that is Aquaman 2. So that possibly you don't have to. DC truly is a lost kingdom. Throughout 2023 and some of 2022, Marvel and DC have basically been holding each other's beers, you know, with the odd exception. And just when the Marvels had ended Marvel's year with egg all over their face, for one last time, DC rocked up and said, "Hold my beer." Or as is the cringe case in this movie, "Hold my Guinness." Oh, Lord. Mortal for Diageo. Mortal for you. And before we get into it, anybody who says it's superhero fatigue, step away. You're talking nonsense. This isn't super. The only fatigue going on here is studio fatigue of making this muck. We're all here for superheroes. When it's good, it's good. We will go to it. Spider-Man, Spider-Verse, I will quote. Guardians 3, even the No Way Home. So when it's good, it's good. But these are just terrible movies. I feel bad now because I've just spoiled my review. But anyway, spoiler review ahead. There was not really much to spoil. But anyway, you want to know what's going on here? Here's what's going on. So after failing to defeat Aquaman for the first time, Black Manta wields the power of the mythic Black Trident to unleash an ancient and malevolent force. Hoping to end his reign of terror, Aquaman forges an unlikely alliance with his brother Orm, the former King of Atlantis, played by Patrick Wilson. Oh, there's your plot outline. Thank you very much. Answers on the back of a beer mat, please. Where do I even begin? This has so many hodgepodge ideas. There are so many movies mashed up into this one. It's Lord of the Rings, even with its own Mordor and Sauron. It's a buddy cop movie. It's Jumanji. It's The Land Before Time. It's Pirates of the Caribbean. It's truly awful. This is a movie that stuck together with God's glue, and kind of everything at the start of this review now kind of makes complete sense, because Warner Brothers are attempting to hide this one in plain sight. Like the Flash's and Shazam's failures were hidden by Barbie, Aquaman's will be happily hidden by the glow around Wonka. So, eyes down, nobody look up, just let it pass. The visual effects are ropey to fine, yeah, whatever. The quips are pretty cringe. And the villain's henchmen, well, they look like they've stepped out of New Order's True Fate video, but an emo version of it. Very strange. Amber Heard is featured front and centre, yet weirdly hidden away, while Nicole Kidman and Dolph Lundgren, Lord save us all. Lord save us. And as for Guinness, again, the product placement, my words, shocking stuff. But you know what? At least the pour was a good one. There's a decent head on there. Unlike, weirdly, if you've seen the trailer for The Tourist Season 2, Jamie doesn't know what a Guinness looks like. Bad ambassador, Jamie. Bad ambassador. At one point, I actually expected him to rock up and pour them a Guinness, but anyway. There is one mid-credit scene. Yeah, it's fine. And then we are out of here. So there you go. If you're invested in DC, you know you're going to still go to it. But I would just severely recommend that you approach with so much caution. By the way, this also is the final DC movie from the previous DC setup, hence those cameos of Michael Keaton and Ben Affleck's Batman, which were filmed, are not in this movie. And now we just need to move on and sit back and await James Gunn's reboot of Superman in Superman Legacy in 2025. The King of Atlantis is dead, people. Long live the King. And with that, I will leave you to my wee Nordy pun master to rattle off some final thoughts, some final ideas about Aquaman and the very, very, very lost kingdom. It's flippin' awful. It'll be sunk at the box office. Do you know what? It feels like a wet blanket. I hear DC has jumped the shark. Don't go to see it. On a scale of 1 to 10, no scales. They should never have mermaid it. It's oceans away from where they were trying to be. It's leagues apart and very subpar. Yes, folks, ultimately I'm sick to the gills with this one. So there you go. Sorry about that, you know. That's life. And if this has scared you off going to the cinema over the holidays, fear not. Please fear not, because St. Stephen's Day or Boxing Day and beyond is a period of time for cinemas which, similar to those last few mad days for retailers pre-Christmas, is absolute box office for cinemas, when a huge amount of business rocks up to their doors. People, you know, just want to get away from each other or avoid the sports ball or just want to chill out and catch a movie post-Christmas chaos. Well, the good news is the movie studios have recovered with some big new releases out there. Starting with this little beauty.
Mother!
Have a seat.
It's this way, Mahito.
A lot of strange things happen in this place.
Please join us. I just hope he stays safe.
Save me.
Save me, Mahito!
What exactly are you?
Dear mother, she's awaiting your rescue. I'll be your guide.
A new movie from Hayao Miyazaki and Studio Ghibli is always something worth celebrating. Huzzah! And boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, does The Boy and the Heron deliver. deliver the goods. Yeah, I should have thought about how I wrote that. Anyway, Mojito, a 12-year-old boy, struggles to settle in a new town after his mother's death. However, when a talking heron informs him that his mother is still alive, he enters an abandoned tower in search of her, which takes him to another world. Oh, sweet lord, an absolute cracker, an instant animated classic, and an unbelievably beautiful and imaginative piece of art. Oh my god, it gives off those crazy otherworldly vibes of Spirited Away. Miyazaki movies are always somewhat adult themed, and yeah, just happen to be animated. But this time with grief, loss, and love being the themes. I'm very happy, very, very happy to put my money where my mouth is and predict that this could be the first ever international animated movie to be nominated for a Best Picture Oscar, and the first animated movie nominated for that Oscar since Toy Story 3 in 2010. But then again, that is my Miyazaki bias. I can't believe I'm saying that. In the same year, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse also exists, but hey, that's how I'm feeling about it right now. It's an emotional rollercoaster for teens and cinephiles alike, and can be watched either with subtitles or dubbing. The options are there. Having seen it myself in subtitles, I now plan on heading back once again and watching the dub version so as to fully appreciate the art of it all. Folks, I cannot recommend this enough. Really, really smallies probably go what's going on, but again, teens, tweens, cinephiles, you're going to lose your shit. That is Miyazaki's The Boy and the Heron, which is in cinemas from St. Stephen's Day.
And so,
you're going broke.
How?
You spend more than you make.
So what do I do?
Win the Mille Miglia, Enzo. Or you are out of business.
This is a gun pointed at her head. You should assign me control of your stock. I have to have all the cards in my hand.
Well, half the cards are in my hand.
All of us are racers.
Michael Mann's Ferrari is set during the summer of 1957 as bankruptcy looms over the company that Enzo Ferrari and his wife built 10 years earlier. He decides to roll the dice and wager it all on the iconic Mille Miglia, a treacherous 1,000-mile car race across Italy. I'm sure the race title sounds something completely different to what I just called it, but you know what? It can't be as bad as Adam Driver's accents. Anyway, starring Adam Driver as Enzo and Penelope Cruz as his wife Laura, this was a pretty decent and enjoyable movie. Weirdly, very weird, it felt kind of like Napoleon in parts, as all those promises of stunning racing car sequences, like the battles in Napoleon, were replaced with a TV drama, soap opera shenanigans between Enzo, his wife, and his mistress, played by Shailene Woodley. Cruz is absolutely brilliant throughout, while Driver is fine. Yeah, happily, his accent is much more low-key than the House of Gucci. While it was a fascinating tale, it did drag in parts, but once we got to the race sequences, man really shines, and we get the spectacle we came to see. And you know what wasn't a thing back in those days? Car safety. Sure, why would you need car safety? Whoa! With a booming and gorgeous soundtrack, while at times, as I said, feeling like a TV movie, personally, I still think it's worthy a trip over the holidays to catch it on the big screen. That's Ferrari in cinemas, yet again, from St. Stephen's Day.
We haven't scored one goal in the history of our country trying to have a soccer team.
Goal! They scored again. Humiliation.
Mark my words. Things are going to change. I got us a new coach.
Something to drink?
Whiskey, beer, wine?
Yep, we got all those. Which one?
Whiskey, beer, and wine.
Another film with a slight TV movie vibe goes to Taika Waititi's Next Goal Wins. The story of the infamously terrible American Samoa soccer team, known for a brutal 2001 FIFA match where they lost 31-0. Ooh, this is basically Cool Runnings meets Soccer Ball, with Michael Fassbender playing the coach brought in to help the team and turn around their fortunes. Sadly, this is not the Taika who gave us such low-key classics as The Hunt for the Wilder People or What We Do in the Shadows, and is pretty much a formulaic football underdog movie. Don't get me wrong, it's fine, it's inoffensive, but is this what you want to see in the cinema on a big screen? Eh, possibly not. More likely it's a streaming movie to enjoy in the comfort of your own home with a few beers. But hey, if you're looking for a cute, fun distraction, yeah, feck it. Next Goal Wins is in cinemas on that day that you should remember by now.
How's it going, stranger?
What's going on over there?
They dated, she crushed his heart.
That man does not have a heart.
No way.
Honey, look who's here!
Who is it?
My ex, Jonathan. My parents have been trying to get us back together.
He's like a son to us.
Maybe we should just tell everyone we're together.
What?
It would solve that problem for me, and you clearly want Margaret. She sees you with me, she wants what she can't have.
There's no way we can convince anyone we actually like each other.
And finally, coming up in cinemas, we have Anyone But You. Despite an amazing first date, Bea and Ben's initial attraction quickly turns sour. However, when they unexpectedly find themselves at a destination wedding in Australia, they pretend to be the perfect couple to keep up appearances. Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell star in this old-school rom-com, which, like Aquaman, hasn't received any press screenings. Sketch! However, while this is not a good sign normally, the trailer does look extremely cute. I do like Sweeney and Powell a lot, so call me old-fashioned, but I'm willing to risk it for a biscuit on this one as I, you know, as I said, I do love a good old rom-com, and Sony seem to be embracing rom-coms while everybody else sends them to streaming. And all I ask is for a quality 3-star. Or as a good friend once said, just give me a 5-star 3-star. I don't expect the moon, but at least give me some pixie dust. I've no idea what that means, but Anyone But You, yes, is in cinemas on St. Stephen's Boxing Day. And that, folks, is your upcoming cinema. Holy moly, so many choices. Just get out of the house, feck it, avoid the football, and just run away and watch to your heart's delight. So many different genres, so many different types. It's all good. It's all good. Right. We will keep on moving because we're nearly there. Let's have a look at three things that caught our eye in pop culture this week. Quality goss. We all remember that rumor. Do you remember the rumor when Quentin Tarantino was due to direct a Star Trek movie? Well, it was revealed on Collider this week by... Sorry, I slipped up my desk there. It was revealed on Collider this week by screenwriter Mark L. Smith, who had been working on it, that Tarantino was indeed all set to direct an R-rated, uber-violent Star Trek in the vein of Pulp Fiction, but minus the extremely strong language. However, ultimately what derailed the movie was not what you'd expect. It was actually Tarantino's self-imposed 10-movie filmography. And he just went, you know what? I don't want my last ever movie to be a Star Trek movie. Despite his love for the franchise. He's instead chosen to make The Movie Critic as his last movie. And will begin shooting it proper in 2024. It's our loss. An uber-violent Quentin Tarantino Star Trek. Now that would have been something. Those red shirts. Holy crap. They would have went out in a blaze of glory. Woo. Anyway, that's that one. Secondly, sad news for fans of the absolutely wonderful and amazing What We Do in the Shadows. Because it was announced this week that season 6 will be its final season with the crazy crew. So as we prepare to bid farewell to Laszlo, Nandor, Nadja, Colin Robinson and their familiar Guillermo. Exec producers Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi have promised that the story will reach its natural conclusion and not be left hanging out there. That's slightly ominous if you ask me. I have a feeling there will be sadness. Sadness and deadness, even though they're already dead. Anyway, and with Reservation Dogs already having ended too, this leaves a very large hole which has now appeared in the quality half-hour comedy market. And finally, in this week's major news, Marvel and Kang are no more as they announced that they have fired Jonathan Majors from the role after he was found guilty by a 6-person jury in New York City of assault and harassment. Seemingly, Majors will not be replaced by another actor and therefore Avengers Kang Dynasty will most likely have to be renamed. Pretty obviously, actually, since there's no Kang and... A new lead villain will now have to be sought after. Dr. Doom, anyone? Maybe Dr. Doom? Who knows? This also means that Major's bodybuilding movie, Magazine Dreams, also owned by Disney and Searchlight, which also had so much Oscar buzz earlier in the year, will most likely also be shelved and never see the light of day. Whew, what a year. Holy crap. Mad shit. And there you go. I don't even have time. Don't even have time to go into the breaking news and the Hollywood trades that there was a possible merger meeting today between Warner Brothers, David Zaslav, Zazzy, and Paramount's Bob Bakish. Paramount have been struggling for quite a while, as have Warner, but now this looks like it's turning into a bit of a 2024 situation that, with each passing week, seems to be edging closer. Paramount's Nickelodeon brand is seemingly a huge draw for Zazzy and has piqued his interest. We'll just have to keep an eye on this one, and whether Universal suddenly appear back in the race, having been in the mix at one point to possibly even take over Warner, it's a merry-go-round, people. It's a feckin' merry-go-round. But there you go. That is it. Loads of, you know, there's just loads of guys out there these days. I just can't cope. I'll have to change my 3 things to 7 things because feckin' hell. Right. My work here is done. My bumper festive double issue episode is in the bag. I didn't even get to talk about telemarketers. Telemarketers, people. It's on Now TV. It's on there. It's absolutely amazing. It's kind of a mockumentary. And I don't have time to talk about it. But all I want to say is just go in blind and you won't believe what you're seeing. So telemarketers on Now TV, came from HBO. Trust me. You will not be disappointed. Okay, Merry Christmas. Have yourself a wonderful New Year. Hey, have a wonderful Eve. And I'll see you on the other side. Because this is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast. Wishing you all the best. And until next week. But actually, until next week, fortnight. Stay safe and binge happy. Well, hello there. Hello, my seasonal post-credit traveler. Welcome yet again to the Thunderdome. Yes, we've hit the year's end, and I could take you on a journey, so many journeys, but I shall not. I could talk about sports ball and some impending matches of doom this weekend. Arsenal-Liverpool, the clash of the titans. We won't talk about villains. We don't talk about villains on here. But no, I'm bigger than that. I'm not going to hurl stones and play Arsenal songs and rile people up. I'm just going to say whatever will be, as long as we don't get stuffed for the 10th time in a row, it feels like. But you know what? I don't want to talk about it. Don't want to talk about it. Because it is the season. And we've had a glorious year. 81 episodes in and folks, still going. Still going strong. Still talking absolute shite. And I thank your ears for that. For putting up. I hope you're wearing strong ear protectors for this nonsense. And yes, I want to thank you and wish you and yours a most merry of Christmases, of festive seasons. And hopefully you'll get a bit of time to chill the feck out. We all get to sit down at some point. So just tell them all to feck off and leave you alone. You've got a year's worth of TV to catch up on. Like, just go away. And relatives? Any relatives call over? Turn out the lights. Dim the TV. Close the curtains. Not here. Kids annoying you? Hopefully they got an iPad or some other sort of screen. Do you know what? You can have all the screen time you want because we're busy. In-laws? Outlaws? Out! Because it's you time. Remember that. For Christmas, for the new year, it's all about you. I know it sounds selfish, but hey, someone's got to look after you. And it might as well be you. So with that, I bid you adieu and hope that you have a truly awesome Christmas, that you had a most wonderful year, and may your 2024 be fucking awesome. We'll be back live and exclusive for episode 82 coming at you from the batter. But till then, let's head off with a kind of seasonal song. It is a seasonal song. It's a song with a vibe. And I love a vibe. Right. Take it away there, Colette. Roll it there, Roisin. Briefly, I feel bad. I feel bad because Christmas is about sharing and giving. And there's me saying, me, it's all about you. Feck everybody else. Well, do you know what? Do you know what I want you to do? I want you to go to your family. Go to your loved ones. Go to your partner. Go to your friends. Hug them. hold them tight. Because, do you know what? It's a shit world out there and shit things happen and you need to let them know that you love them. Do it. Do it. You will not regret it. Hold them tight. And then, only then, tell them to feck off because you've got shit to watch. Take care now. Much love and all the hugs to you all.